Start roll call.
See if you can remember everyone. Arthur Kim.
Here.
Ron Mooseman.
Here.
Tim Oberbrocklin.
Present.
Brian Russell.
Here.
Crystal.
Here.
Diana.
Present.
Ron.
Here.
Flower. Jennifer. Okay. 6, 7, 8. There's another person. Is that
Abby.
9?
Oh, yeah.
Abby Huff. She might be late. I saw her yesterday and she said she was going to be here. So.
Hey, you do have members of the public, so if you'd like to identify yourself and why you're here, if you're here for an agenda item.
My name is Dan. I represent the Methodist community. We're here for the action items of demolition of 1156 at Adam.
I'm sorry, what was your first name?
Adam.
Adam.
Dan.
Cindy.
Cindy, Heather, just like CR Heritage. To observe.
Cindy, did you have anything for public comment?
Yeah.
Hi, Abby.
Hi.
Has everyone had a chance to read over the minutes of the last meeting? Are there any changes that need to be made? Do I have a motion to pass the minutes? Approve the minutes?
Make a motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Since we do have here someone out of four action item 4B2, can we take that out of order?
Yes, and just to clarify that, we do not have a presentation, so I apologize for that staying on the agenda, so there is no 3.
10 minutes off. Okay, so we'll move to action item 4B1, 1156 N Avenue Northwest, primary structure demolition. What they'll do is give a little update on us, and then you're welcome to stay there if you want, or come up here and talk if you'd like, and then we'll have questions for you.
Great. All right. So this house was built in 1960. The condition was considered normal by the city assessor, and it has not been surveyed. Here's a picture of the house currently. Staff is recommending immediate release just because there's no evidence of historic significance, and it's a poor candidate for local landmarking.
Adam, do you have anything to add?
No.
Jeez. We
have property to the west of that property that we're looking at turning into green space for maybe future development.
This wasn't on a preview before, was it? That was started out by the airport that looked like this.
Correct. No, this hasn't been.
I've already talked to Mark Stouffer Hunter. He's got his pictures. He said there is no historical significance. He's fine with it going with the demolition. So, is there any questions on the property? Questions? Do I have a motion?
Motion to approve demolition on 1156 North Avenue Northwest.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Slam dunk, man.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome to stay, but I know you have a volleyball.
Yeah, I got a volleyball.
And you can still have volleyball on it.
I'm set. Thank you very much.
Okay, Adam, do you want to move back up to action item 4A?
Yes.
106 consultation, 210 Second Avenue Southeast, U.S. Cellular Antenna.
Co-location?
Thank you.
Yes. So we're starting to have more of these. If you remember, I don't know, a couple months ago we had one that was over by Target North. This one is a co-location. We included a lot of things in the packet, but some of the photos are kind of useless, but there's some really good ones that give you an idea of what this is. So you can see in the middle there, not in the middle, but kind of towards the street, what they call a penthouse. So it's like a one-story building that comes out on top. If you go to the next. So here's a bunch of aerial views. You don't see it. So these are kind of, they provided these, but if you go to the next, so now you actually see what this thing looks like. The bottom left here, the existing penthouse, those are the antennas, those cylindrical gray things there. They are pulling, I believe, all but one, putting new ones in the exact same space. Little bit of history. This was, when they went to do this the first time, this was reviewed by SHPO because it isn't a downtown national district of downtown. So they were looking at sight lines. It was signed off on by SHPO back then. But because, you know, they're putting new things, interestingly enough, we may have to add this to as a presentation. With the FCC in Section 106, there are certain things like co-location where they say usually you won't have any 106 review, but then we get one that has that. So sometimes I guess it's required and other times it isn't. So essentially they're pulling off old ones, putting on ones that are the same size based on, I think if you go to the, is there another one? Yeah, so you can get an idea. They're basically the same. They're not extending above the penthouse anymore.
Adam, what's the name of the building? I'm not.
Yeah. What was located in the building?
It's called the
Is that where GoCR's offices were?
Is that the one on the corner of 2nd and 2nd on the north? Southeast or south?
Yes, you have Alliant. You have Alliant on 1st and 2nd, and then it's not on the same block. It's across the street from, so where, what, I think, Need Pizza and those, it's the other side of it. So I think you might be right that that's where they...
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
Oh.
I just wasn't looking familiar to you.
So we were sent notification if we wanted to participate. Obviously, we responded back, we did. They're asking for comments by the end of the, by next Friday. So basically what we're looking for is to provide them with any comments in terms of how the commission feels that this project would impact the national district.
One of the things that strikes me as odd, and it's been a while since I've looked at the National Downtown District survey, but in here they talk about it being State Street Historic District. So is one of those streets originally State Street?
I think it's a mistake.
Well, that ought to be enough for us to provide comment on this.
Yeah, there. I also noticed they had some mistakes on one of their maps that they made, so I was going to provide some comments on that.
And do we know if that building is eligible or contributing as far as the national district goes?
It's in the national.
It's in the national district. I do not know offhand if it is.
So those green things are the antennas. It's actually nothing like sticking above the building, really.
Correct.
And then they wrote that they're actually adding 6, removing 3, and then replacing them with 9 new.
Yeah, and there is one that's staying.
Right, because there's currently 4.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's that one right in the middle there.
Right. Okay. And then clearly you can't really see it from the street other than like that one.
It's really.
Okay.
They're not adding any. I have no idea what direction it's east.
The one we're looking at, where we're facing, there are none added on that corner, right? In the picture.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so here's that,
and that
kind of
the
south or eastern part of it. And you can see where they're on either side. I'll call it like front or back, but they're not on the side of the building, so.
There's not on the space you can really see from this photo.
Yeah.
So they're not on this space.
Yes, that's the part you can really see from the street.
Arthur?
Do we know how these are adhered to the building? And if that creates any potential structural challenges?
I don't. I'm assuming there's some sort of brackets there. They're putting them in the same place, so my assumption is, or most of them are in the same place, that, you know, there's no issues with it adhering them to the building.
I'm just thinking long-term, say we take them all out, and now we've got 9 sets of the walls.
Right.
Which you probably can't see on the street.
Visually, I'm sure it wouldn't matter, but I'm thinking just long-term structural integrity. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't imagine that it would be a problem. I don't know.
We have them on the bottle works, and they adhere them with expansion bolts.
Okay.
So they rotor hammer usually in a mortar joint, not a brick, and then they put in the expansion joints and put them on there. I guess, you know, from a historical perspective, I have no questions about, you know, as long as SHPO approves the sightlines of things. My question is if, like, our upstairs deck is right there, just about 8 foot underneath the antenna, and as soon as they got put up, you know, then the company come in. They didn't talk about it, but there's all sorts of signs saying, you know, be careful of overexposure to electromagnetic waves and so on. Does the city do anything with you know, the fact that there's getting to be more and more decks on top of buildings? Mm-hmm. This is not an uncommon thing on buildings. We tried to find that out, and we couldn't chase that down. But I haven't stood up on the deck with a fluorescent light bulb and see if it lights.
No, but I noticed when I walked by, you, my phone was crazy.
So, it may explain a lot of things, Tim.
Ron, one of the things that we learned about Section 106 is that the visual effects that these things can have on a historic building, and it doesn't necessarily, on the bottom works, I'm surprised that there are those on that building that it's listed and such. This one, you know, SHPO, and that's why I ask if it's eligible or contributing, because if it's contributing, then there's not as much visual effect to it. But that's one of the things we have to be concerned about down the road, because they might be putting some of these antennas in the historic districts on poles that will take away from the side of a house that's in the historic district and stuff. So.
Now we don't, so SHPO was sent the same packet of information at the same time, so we don't know what we know what they said back then, but we don't know what their comment is now yet, so.
Adam, what are you actually wanting from us?
So, basically I'm taking comments that we can provide back to the consultant, so. No, it's just so we've got the, as Ron had mentioned, that reference to some district somewhere, probably the last place a consultant did work. Also, there's some issues with some of the maps where they, as an example, the Maze Island is a National Historic District. They also had it identified as a local. So there were just some things with the maps that weren't accurate, which I was going to provide them. But, you know, as an example, let's say these were going to extend 10 feet above that penthouse roof line. That might be something where, you know, you guys say, well, we're concerned about what that does to the sight lines. So that'd be an example of, you know, a comment.
So any other questions?
Yeah. Is there any way to, without affecting the functional ability of it, to make it look a little bit better? Maybe paint the rods brown or put something around it? I don't know if that's a thing, if you can do it, but is that a thing?
Yeah, I'd ask that
nicer?
Too. I think if like anybody's traveled to the West Coast, you know,
something prettier,
they cover these up. I mean, California, they blend right into the topography or the building. You don't see them.
Like maybe steel something over it. But yep. I don't know if it'll affect how it works.
I mean, that's we can ask them if there's a way to make that blend in to the building more.
Even if they're the same color in the exterior of the building.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, Adam, to refresh, so we have 6 total now or 3 total now?
9 total.
Nine from
currently.
Oh, 4.
They're removing 3. And we're going to put a total of 9 back up, counting the ones that they leave.
So there'll still be six new?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's math.
Well, I guess I would pose a question. Does anyone would like to submit an actual question, that they can submit to?
So I'm going to submit, I'm going to let them know that there's some, technical errors, but then also that the commission does, would like to know if there's a way to make those blend in more with paint or something, so they're not as visible.
Any other questions that you'd like addressed by Adam to them?
I think I'd go with Arthur, what he said, making sure that they are not drilled into bricks, they're adhered in the mortar joints.
And also you might want to make them aware that this is a national registered property for your district, that it could possibly be a local, so we're concerned with the reason for camouflaging is, should it ever be nominated, that it is not turned out because of something like this already done.
Yeah.
So since we're starting from scratch with it, we've already been addressed, but camouflage it to where it's not going to hamper the building from becoming a local as well as national. Usually they don't like to see you taking things off of a building. Run into a lot of stuff you're putting on, except for roof lines. That we've had that before us before. But this is kind of all new for us. Any other questions you'd like addressed? And we don't have to vote on that, correct?
Correct.
Why is it an action item?
It just to get comment. So. And then I'm assuming I'll get some sort of feedback back from them after I submit this, and then we'll report back out.
And you can find out for us, too, what the state did say in their feedback?
So yes.
We're on the same page?
Yep.
So we can kind of keep our words the same as the state's.
Yep.
Okay. We'll move to action item 4B2, 4111, 4105, Sim Point Road Northeast, primary structures demolition.
So this building up for demolition, it's a one-story retail building built in 1958. It's considered below normal for the city assessor, and this is another building that has not been surveyed. We tried to get a photo, there's a bunch of vehicles in front of it, so I got as close as I could, but I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with this building already.
Yeah.
Staff recommends immediate release. We don't have evidence for historic significance and poor candidate for local landmark.
Are you all familiar with the location?
Yeah.
That's where the BP is, right there across from Wendy.
I've been with that for about 3-4 years now.
Yeah, they're pretty sad looking.
Yeah.
I did talk with Mark Stouffer today, Hunter. He's got all of his pictures. Yes, finds no reason that it should be held up. But that still leaves room for questions if anyone has any questions.
Does anyone know what businesses it formerly was?
It was a
Domino's.
Yeah. And then it was a
Diamond Nails Salon.
Sorry.
Originally it was Mitchell's Outlet, Surplus and Bargain.
Mitchell's Outlet.
And Nails.
Okay, there we go.
Salon.
Okay.
Now the BP station, is this part of the same?
I can let you know after you have taken action.
Well, that's
kind
of sneaky. Do I have any other questions?
The property owner's picture, by the way.
Cool. My salon is across the street up the hill. I'm assuming it's going to be a new,
something,
a quick star or something like that. A quick trip.
Yeah, the owner is Quick Trip, so.
If there are no more questions.
Motion to approve demolition for 4111 and 4105 Center Point Road Northeast.
Have a second?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed.
Okay. Did you go to the non-street food?
What?
Yep, they have the X.
Why did that happen?
Jeez, we went from the city to the country.
The X in the top right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, so, yes, this is going to be a quick trip. They own the corner. I forget what that was, BP.
Yeah.
So they're going to be putting in a new store that will encompass those. Yeah.
Okay.
Can I ask why that's not, are they using an existing building? Or why is that not?
We have,
that
that's
is,
what I'm, because we have the demolition for 4141 here.
Yeah, that's actually, it's the age.
Oh, it's...
Oh, it doesn't... Okay.
Yeah.
It's
been updated. Yeah, the demo app has kind of everything in it, but the only one, only that was the only building that needed to come.
I don't drink coffee, but that would have been a great corner for Starbucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm curious to see what
I'm talking
about there.
I'm sorry, what? We don't have to review it because of...
The age.
Less than
50
years.
It's less than
50
years
old.
No, it's not.
Is
that?
I just looked up, it was, yeah, because it was the standard service gas station, Bartles Standard, which it was built in 1960.
I know they redid the building when there was a BP, it didn't look like that.
Yeah, the age on the assessors did not have it as...
This has a car wash to it that wasn't there. I mean, they might have added to it was there, I'm not sure.
We need to, I mean, that would be something we need to make sure, yeah.
Yeah, we'll look into it.
Yeah.
Make sure.
Do you remember what the assessor site said?
I don't remember the exact age.
Abby, what was the site that you used that you found?
The newspaper.
Newspaper.
The library newspaper, phone book, directory.
That I had kind of a question at this symposium too around what's our database of record or what do we use as a tiebreaker?
Can you rephrase that? What do you mean?
Well, in a lot of cases, there's lots of different information out there. What is the official record that we use in order to establish dates? Okay, Abby found something in the Gazette archives, I assume.
Yep.
And then we have the assessor's database. Well, we know the assessor's database has some misses or whatever in it.
Okay, well, so let's say Abby is correct, which you probably are.
I don't know if that's the original building or if it was rebuilt.
Well, if it is the original, it's buried inside the center somewhere.
Yeah.
It's totally
it did,
changed
yeah.
on the okay. outside with the cross.
Yeah, the assessor says 1971.
So the cutoff is 69. So if it's 1969 or before, it for as of 2019, that's the 50-year-old.
Yeah, the article I read was from 69, I think. So it must have been right when it...
Maybe it was being erected.
So that's...
What was it, gas
station? Yeah. It was a standard gas. Bartles. Standard gas.
Well, Mark did look at it.
He didn't
say anything. If it was buried in there somewhere, the flip side of that is it's not going to be historical because it's been changed so much that it's not going to qualify for it. So what do we do in this case? What if it was over 50 years? Do we have to put a stop or a halt, or do we ask for more research?
I'd have to put it on the next agenda. It'd be a staff error, and we just put it on the next. Well, and actually, we may not even be able to do that because if when we received it, 15 business days.
Yeah, you'd have to do something quickly.
We had one. They demolished the Nash building. They didn't have the date right on that, and I questioned that after the fact because I drove by going to work 50 years earlier.
I would say, I mean, we stick with the assessors.
Yeah.
But you're right there. I mean, I was looking at something the other day. If you look at the assessors, when you click on a property, it'll pull up a little inset map. If you can open that up, it'll give you more information. And it had the age it was constructed, and then it had an effective age, and then it had another term after that, and all three, like the math was not adding up. I couldn't usually you look at the age of when it was constructed and the effective age, that will be right. You know, you can do the math. And so that was one where it was like, okay, let's, you know, kind of go through it again. So there are instances where there's errors, and, you know, sometimes you'll see a date of like, I think it's like 1900 or 1899.
Yes.
It's like a kind of like a place, a placeholder. Yeah. So then that would, you know, if we had that happen, we would have to do some more research to actually find out if it, you know, what that age is.
I think it kind of points out that Abby did her homework and the rest of us should be watching these things that we know about too a little bit closer so that we can bring them up ahead of time and not waste our time here at this, you know, discussing that. Because,
you know, however, this building wasn't on the gym.
Yeah.
So there'd be no reason to
meet. Yeah, I just happened to be going through it and saw it, so
right.
I
appreciate
told
your
that.
Time in doing that too. It makes me worry though, not for this building, but this truly I know the building is
But
what if it was a building similar to this?
Maybe it was, yeah.
That you found and it slipped out of our grasp because of that.
So the one thing would be, you know, if Abby, let's use this, and she gets the agenda and does research, unless you did it last night.
I did.
Then she could contact staff and say, hey, you know, FYI, I found this. And then we can do some more work because we have up until, you know, 3:45 yesterday to amend the agenda. So then we could have put that building on there. So.
Yeah. Thank you, Abby, for doing that. So that would, you know, vote on that.
Yeah.
So we're going to do number 5, discussion items, proactive transaction.
So we had nothing.
Training for Beaver.
Oh, yes.
That's what HPC members are supposed to be doing. So we do have, we had an open house last week. So the Beaver Woods intensive survey that we're doing, 25-ish homeowners. Not all of them from the survey area, but the majority of them were. So we had that last week. Consultant gave a presentation describing, you know, what the survey is about, what are some possible outcomes. And then we have training next Thursday. 6 to 7
in this room.
And that will be for people who want to participate, whether that is doing research, taking photographs, and also too, you know, if there's people that they have some connection, they know something about the house, we've let people know too that they can, you know, share that with us.
Could we also get an update on a shareholder meeting for the school?
Oh, Ambrose?
Yes.
Yes, so Ron was the HPC representative in the kind of review panel. We received 2 proposals for, is everyone familiar with the Ambrose building?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 2000 Mount Vernon Road. So the committee, you know, provided feedback on the proposals, and we are going forward with a proposal from Bart Woods and Josh Bass. They have a proposal for kind of senior cooperative housing. It's like 30-ish condos. They're going to construct another building behind the Ambrose building to supplement the Ambrose building. So that's going to be going to the next council meeting for their review and recommendation. So, and I don't know, Ron, if you wanted to add anything.
No, it wasn't my choice, but then that's. I didn't score as high as what I wanted to. I understand.
So that would be September 24th.
Adam, did you guys present the historic asset or inventory to a group? Because we were updating it. Is there any response back from that?
So we gave that to the development committee, so the city council subcommittee, and they were, I think, just pleased. I know there was a comment about, you know, working on this list, creating this, has been around for a long time. So I think for some of the council members that have been there since that came up to actually see something, you know, that was, I mean, and Paul, you know, the other two are new. But they're all, you know, they're all pleased to know that that's being worked on. So, positive.
Any other discussion items? That's under.
Whoa.
Okay, number six, announcements.
Do you have any other announcements?
I just have one. I would like, I don't know how we go about it, but I've talked with people that helped write Chapter 18, and Doors is a crucial part of Chapter 18. So I'd like to put on the agenda to discuss making that not be whatever you call it. I'm sorry, I'm not getting that.
CNMV.
And see what we have to do to make it become, in a historical district, something that you do need permits for. We cannot let Doors be taken out of houses.
Oh, yeah, that. So.
And it is, I talked to Amanda, she wrote that section of Chapter 18, and it is right in there. She's going to give the information and why we did it, and it was voted on by City Council that those doors are protected. It's right in Chapter 18, so those should not be slipping through HBC.
So the issue is, if something is, so we have in Chapter 18, if something requires a building permit, and if something doesn't, so people realize that swapping out a door, I don't know, putting shutters on, I'm trying to think of something that doesn't require a building permit. Adding screen door, storm door, you do not need a building permit. However, it's in the guidelines, it does need review because it could possibly hide or take away from the exterior characteristics. So it is in the design guidelines that there should be review. If it meets the design guidelines, it would be a CNME. If it doesn't, it would be a COA. The issue is, that does not need a building permit, so we didn't know about it until Jennifer happened to drive by and see it. So that's something that gets into, you know, we would have to see if that would be something that to issue. I don't see that happening where the city would all of a sudden say you need to have a building permit for a door. So,
but I still am concerned. Number one, according to the man of Chapter 18, if you need a tool, you need a permit.
When that, and
that's why it's written.
That, it's actually, it's
that came from Kevin Sebadi, so
I want Kevin at that meeting as well, because he's the one that put it in. I just find it really strange. We tell them what to do with every window in the house, but the door that you walk through, we don't give a rat's. I don't agree with that. The door is the key part to the house. Am I wrong, or am I barking up the wrong tree?
You're completely right.
I think it needs to be protected, so I think it needs to be an agenda item that we can discuss, and if we have to go to City Council to make it. I'm not talking the rest of the city, just in historical districts. It should require a permit. Because what they do, Adam, and we got pictures of it, it's even in Chapter 18.
I'm not disagreeing at all.
They say they're going to do this, but there's no one to go check if they made the door opening bigger. And according to Amanda, if you need a hammer or a screwdriver, you need a permit. That's the way it was written.
And
if they made an opening bigger, that would require a permit.
But how do you know?
I mean, anyone could make any change without a permit,
yeah,
and that would.
That's why we have people, and I've asked people that live in these neighborhoods right around Amanda.
So that's how we would know if someone caught it.
So, was it earlier this year, late last year, we had an individual that changed the size of a window and did it without a permit. That was good in that it required a permit, because then we had some sort of, you know, ability to get them to do the right thing. With something like a door where there's not a permit required?
And that's my question. Why do we require a permit for a window, which you don't even use, but we don't require a permit for something you walk through?
Sure, and I can get an answer from Kevin. I would guess it has to do with health and safety. But
because in a historical district, your door is the key place. And
very important.
It's the key part of the house or the structure. I mean, what if I decided to take the doors off the Osseidi, which are historic, and put up metal doors? It's okay for me to do that? Of course it's not. It's a national and local landmark. You guys would freak if I put metal solid doors on that building. You know you would. And I could do it if I wanted. I don't think that's right. I think we need to discuss it in an item. Go before City Council if we have to. Do whatever we need, whatever proper lines, and make it to where for doors that are no different than a window, you need a permit to change the door, even if you're not doing the change size. We make them keep material's the same. We don't want to put vinyl windows in, so why would we let them take a historic wood door off and put that door or a metal door? It makes absolutely no sense to me. And I think it's worth looking into for an agenda item to discuss, and then for you guys to go further on the city council.
Okay.
So that will be on the agenda next week.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do I have agreement with this? Mm-hmm. Are you guys as concerned about it? If you read chapter 18, one of the things is, I helped write it, one of the things we put in there is a picture of exactly what Bob found, where there was a door pallet in the front yard. And on that one, they did change the size, which I don't know whatever came up, they had to take it down and do it. But it was Bob and Grafton that happened to drive by and see the door sitting in the front yard. And they totally changed it. My concern is, and it's true, I mean, I myself have done things without permits, so I know it gets done. I don't need more because it's bored, but usually that you call it on traffic. But if you guys say, yeah, you can do that, who's following through to make sure that's what they really did? You guys don't really see if they changed the opinion of the door. If it does come before us, we don't know anything about it except for after it's done and you do the uptake. And it's a lot harder to make someone take windows. We have the lady that didn't get a permit on Washington Avenue, and Window World put in, I think it was Window World, all vinyl windows. And the woman sat in that chair where you are and cried her eyes out because she spent all her money on these things. It's much harder to fix these after they're done than before the project. And we kind of shamed the window people and said, they said, well, the permit. I said, why did you not get a permit? Well, it slipped through the cracks. I don't believe it did. I think it just skirted the issue. But at the very end, they manned up and said, we'll take the windows out and reuse them in another thing, and the lady was happy. But it would have been so much easier if she would have got the permit, and we could have told her what she could or could not do. And I think that same thing should apply to windows. So that's all I'll say. I'd like to see it on the agenda. If it doesn't go anywhere, then it doesn't go anywhere. But I think the door is more important than a window, quite frankly. You walk through it.
Yeah.
So I'll put it on the agenda, and then I'll have a discussion with Kevin to see.
Yeah, I'd like Kevin in that meeting.
Well, that's up to Kevin.
Yeah. Requesting.
Yeah. Still up to Kevin, but yeah, I'll get an answer from him on his thoughts about, because you also have to look at it from a manpower, a resource level, in terms of permitting something like that. Maybe it's not an issue, maybe it is, but that's going to be the overriding.
I can see what you're saying, but then why do we care about windows and manpower? Why do we care about fences?
Well, but those are things that. And I can get the reason for this. It has been deemed necessary to make sure they're done correctly, so therefore you get a permit. And why, you know, anyone can replace a door in their house without a building permit. What the difference between that and a window, I don't know what it is. You know, windows, you could affect the integrity of, you know, you could allow weather in or whatever.
I'm talking historical district. I'm not talking about Cedar
Rapids. I realize that.
I'm talking historical district. The door is a key part to a building. It's the focal point on my building. Mm. It is the focal point on my building with the veranda up above it. If I put something on there, number one, state would let me do that. They take it off the local or the national would say you change the outside, you can't do it. I mean, national, this falls under national too. You start taking things, you're changing things on historic property, they don't find you, they just say we're taking you off the historical register because you took off all the stuff that made it historical. And I worry about it when we're not on this board anymore, because it's constantly evolving. You guys won't be. I mean, we got to make sure we get it down, because I'm going to be here. Right?
Yeah, if it's the case that it's not in Chapter 18, then we need to put it in Chapter
18. It is in Chapter 18.
Well, that's what they're going to determine. If they can highlight that it's not there, then we have to make sure by motions and whether that we modify Chapter 18.
And that also is going to, it's not as, there's more to it than just HPC saying it needs to be added in there because it affects other city policies and procedures. So that all has to be looked at holistically. Because again, if building services believes they don't have the resources to do that, even in the historic district, then that's going to be their recommendation back. So it's, you know, it may not be as easy as just changing Chapter 18. Because right now, Chapter 18 does not mention what you said about needing a hammer or a tool. It doesn't say that. The design guidelines do not say that either. What's that?
There is a big section of the doors.
I mean, I just looked through it. I mean, we can talk afterwards. I can send out the sections, you know, the links, but it just says certificate required when building permit is required and when it is not. And my understanding was that was added because there was an issue like, say, doors, where someone knows they don't need a building permit, but they put a metal door to replace a wood one that has recessed panels.
Goes in more detail on the guidelines that might have more of a...
The design guidelines might have more information.
Yeah, the design guidelines go through what is recommended and not recommended for doors in the historic district. Chapter 18 is a more vague, like, this is how you administer HPC.
The guidelines are how to use Chapter 18, basically.
Just a question, because I may have missed it when you said it. Is this a building that is on the register in a historical district, or is it a contributing building in a historical district? Or is
local landmark.
It's a local landmark.
District.
Okay.
The house in question is in the
it's in a
second and third avenue district, and I'd have to double check to see if it was considered contributing or not.
We had this discussion about something else, and I went and looked because I was always curious. What percentage of houses over time that are non-contributing to a historical district, if that percentage goes up, at what point does it lose its designation?
Right.
And when I went through, I tried to find, you know, some black and white answer, and there isn't one out there. I think if it's a contributing structure to the historic, whether it's local or national, we have a much better chance of enforcing that. But if it's just a structure in a district, historical district, I don't know if we can.
I just know that it's...
I agree with you, but I was looking for a mechanism, you know, through the hierarchy from national down to... Because I forget what property. I'll have to go back through my notes. I've missed a couple meetings. I apologize. So, but I remember this... It wasn't in general about door a specific, but there was a building where they were again changing the architectural significance of it, and that question came up.
And I'm just trying to be, we use the word all the time, proactive. Mm-hmm. Trying to get ahead of the game, proactive.
Because I agree.
Diane, you got a question?
It was just a comment just on how it might be hard for the city, and I'm not going for or against it, to ask for just people in historic district to get a permit to change their doors.
It's not really though, because we ask them to do everything differently in a historic district. That's why it's in a historical district.
Yeah. I just figured like if somebody is like, oh, they don't know, you know, you have to, because in another house maybe they change the door and it's okay, but then they don't realize. I guess maybe you could put it like, you know, in the guidelines that remember when you're changing a door in the historic district, so I guess you could
highlighted
that way.
And our guidelines don't apply to outside the guidelines.
It just gets tricky.
And we have been doing more with the letter and that sharing that goes out to the local districts and landmarks about, you know, things like this, that there are things you may, well, first of all, get a permit, because a lot of people don't. And then also, you know, there are things that you may be doing that don't require a permit, but still need to follow the design guidelines.
Still, and that's where it gets tricky, is like, when does the homeowner know? The homeowner who doesn't know a lot about the historic preservation, you know? If they think, oh, I don't have to get a permit for this, but then they're in the district, maybe they do.
Well, we're probably over-discussing this anyway, just on the agenda.
So, we might.
We have plenty of time.
If you could check my numbers, in reality, do you have a question?
I do. Does anyone know like how many homes are in the historic districts here? Like what are we even talking about?
267, I think.
It's around there.
Yeah.
Right around 250.
We can get that number. I just don't know off the top of my head.
So, I mean, again, not really for or against it. Would love to discuss it more next time. But I just find it hard that the city would think, oh, this is way too much extra work when we're talking about 250 houses. How many times does someone change a door?
Yeah, and I'm just trying to set an expectation that it may not be as easy as, you know, let's specifically call it out. And again, I don't disagree. It's just that, you know, how is that done and if that department can do it with the resources they have. I mean, from a building services standpoint, we are a complaint-based response city because we do not have the resources to send out people to drive all around and look for work being done without a permit or any other infractions, peeling paint, things that are, you know, are citable. So, so I'm just trying to set an expectation.
Well, we have to try.
Well, I would even be willing, we'd have to take it up with friends, nonprofit, but I'd even have friends take it before city council if we can't get anywhere with this board. I just think it's very, very important.
Yeah.
And it's got, you know, we worry about fences, we worry about the step height, we worry about everything except the door. And we have ruled on doors before in the past that they had to be light materials, but that was included in a permit they already had.
Yeah.
I'll preface this by saying I agree. Doors are important. But going back to what you said about health and safety,
yeah, that's right.
If I want to put in a fence, I've got to start digging holes, which means possible pipelines, electric lines. If I want to change a window, that means knocking things out of walls, you know, like doing more dangerous things. I can change my front door with an ice pick and a book if I need to.
I want to
just like just knock the pins out and pull the door off. Pop a new door on, push the pins back in. From a health and safety standpoint, changing a door is no more difficult than like relacing a shoe. You know what I mean? Like,
but I'm not looking at it from a health issue. I'm looking at it as a.
But the city will be.
As an image.
But city and permits will be. And I'm just playing devil's advocate.
We
like I said,
throw all of
I agree. I completely
throw
agree
all
that's
of
an important
we make
thing.
People stand by for me and let's throw it all out the window. What's
yeah.
the point? Who would everyone in your window? We don't care.
I think that's, we just need that clarification.
Right.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
I think we need
what?
More after the clarification.
Well, start with,
right.
you know, why are windows above doors? I mean, we need to.
They always are.
Sometimes they're right next to it.
Those are silence. If you can do that, that
yep.
would be great. Get on the agenda so we can at least legally discuss it. Because right now we're not.
just strike everything off.
Get as much information for us so we can decide. You know, I personally think it's worth pursuing. Okay, any other announcements? That took longer than the whole meeting, but. Number 7, certificate of no material effect updates.
We just had one, 1509 Park Ave. They're doing, this is actually a historic rehab program recipient, which I'll present soon. We have 3 new recipients. They're doing wood windows. This is actually a continuation of a project. They've done 3 already, and they're doing another set of 3 or 4. So all wood windows. So this, that's why that is a CNE.
That's it.
That's it.
Sounds like I have a motion to adjourn. I was just trying to get us to 5:30, okay? I was like, do I have a motion to adjourn? Diana, you
motion to adjourn?
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.